9:30 on a Friday morning during the legislative season. That means it's Capitol Call, brought to you this morning by Phillips 66. And since we started with Senator Daniels last week, Mr. Fincher is with us this morning. And good morning. Thank you for being with your listeners. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. And thank you to Phillips 66 for sponsoring this with us. It's been another great week. We were on the floor far more than we normally are because deadlines next week.
Yeah. And so it's one of those must get it done, and whether it's your bill or just the pressure to accomplish as much as is reasonably possible, there's that drive to let's get this done.
Oh, yeah, definitely, and you start to feel it. And so when questioning goes on a little bit long on the bill, it's like, I think that's been answered. Let's go ahead and just move forward. Now, of course, the Speaker and the Pro Tem can agree to hear a bill at any time.
Sure.
But for orderly functioning of both chambers, we all have deadlines so that we know when things get done.
And I'm sure that, I know you wrote a piece, I'll at least give you an opportunity to comment publicly on it. You publish a weekly column, and you commented particularly about local control, particularly again in the context of school districts, but not necessarily only school districts.
Well, that's right. So often we hear about local control and we talk about it in terms of school districts, but I wanted to talk about it this time in terms of municipalities. And we had a bill come up, Senate Bill 1001, and basically it would have prohibited any what's called a political subdivision. You know, those are your counties, your cities, your school districts, yada, 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 from doing anything to regulate, restrict, prohibit, tax, whatever, what are called auxiliary containers. That's bill speak for, you know, those are your plastic bags you get at the grocery store. Those are the little takeout containers that you have for everything.
But I have seen other states, other municipalities saying, no, sorry, you know, the grocery store is no longer able to put your groceries in a plastic bag and that sort of thing.
That's right. And, you know, the irony of that particular bill, I've lived in places where you had to bring your own bag. Mm-hmm. Or you bought one from the store, and that wasn't by law, that was by custom. That's just the way they'd done it for decades. Nobody thought anything about it. Everybody had their bags, you know, because people walked everywhere. And so on this particular issue, the question comes down to, I'm a strong proponent of local control. I mean, everybody in a municipality gets to elect the people they have. If they don't like what they do, they can, you know, recall them, they can throw them out, they can vote them out, they can overturn whatever they do. And so whether you're in government or in a business, you want to put decisions as far down as possible. So the question is, would this particular bill have affected how people did business inside the state and had effects outside of it? I just don't see that. And part of the reason being is if you had a tax or a fee, every political subdivision that has taxing authority or ability to do fees sets their own tax rates. So every time you cross the border into another one, there's a different tax rate. Companies that operate in all those do it. They operate in areas, you know, national companies operate in areas that already have these laws. But the big thing is we don't have these in Oklahoma. We just don't have them. And so this was a preemption. And part of this comes down to if we're going to cry overreach by the federal government, we should also be very concerned about overreach by the state government. And there's never a perfect dividing line. There are places where people can disagree about whether something's overreach or not, or whether it should be local. And I think this was also one of those where it was kind of in a gray area, but I really feel that it's a local control. But I could see people who are on the other side of the issue, too.
Okay. And did that measure pass the House, or is it still in process?
It squeaked through the House. It got 51 votes, which is the bare minimum that you do need.
Well, like many courses we took in college, it's pass-fail. And so we'll
exactly.
Good morning, Senator.
Morning, Charlie. How are you on this good Friday?
It is a good Friday. Yes. It's sunny. It is a Friday, and looking forward to a pleasant Easter weekend all the way around.
Right. Well, I'll just play off of Representative Fincher. I voted for the prohibition on the individual municipalities setting rules and regulations on plastic bags and other containers. This was a bill they tried to run last year, and I was in Business and Commerce Committee last year. So the tension between local control and preemption is one that comes up in lots of issues. It came up this week also in school bus being allowed, districts being allowed to put video cameras on, and I'll talk about that in a minute. So if it's going to have a widespread effect on the ability of business to do business in Oklahoma, if it's going to prompt businesses to not expand in Oklahoma, I have to think very carefully before I think each individual municipality passes its own rules. Then you have an extra tax on the bag. So I was a no. You know, this is the same thing we talk about municipalities starting to regulate the energy industry, which is in the purview of the Corporation Commission, and regulating them to such an effect that they actually deny the development of the mineral interest. So again, what's reasonable for public safety and local zoning and protection of right-of-ways, and what really does begin to chill business? And of course, with business, that's tax revenue, that's also jobs. So it's a good question, and we obviously have to deal with it every day. The other one, and this came up this week, this has become a news item, which kind of surprised me, was House Bill 1926 about allowing school districts to put video cameras on the buses to attempt to catch those who go past the arm. Mm-hmm. And it failed in the Senate the first day. Now, for it to fail in the Senate, there have to be a lot of questions that aren't answered. We've only defeated less than five bills this year out of hundreds. So when you're against something, you think, I must be the only one, and you start to hear the questions in the debate, and the author was unable to answer our questions. Plus, it's a poorly written bill, in my view. So it got defeated, and he asked to reconsider it. And when he came back, somebody got up and said, did you go to all the people who had problems with your bill? Did you make any amendments? Did you give them any new information? He hadn't done that. So quite a few of us decided that it was still a bad bill, in my view. It's the issue's important, but how this bill addressed it. And this bill also set up a new fund in the Department of Education to issue grants for districts to help buy this surveillance equipment. In addition to the fine of $100 that's already there, they were going to assess a fee, 25% to the law enforcement authority that reviewed the video evidence and decided to send it to the DA for a $100 fine, and then 75% into this video camera grant fund, and the Department of Education was going to make up rules for these grants. There was an expansion of government here, and it wasn't clear, when you pay this fee, does it go to the district court fund and come, does it go directly to the State Department of Education? Now, your viewers are saying it's all about school safety. Absolutely it is.
And the public highways are a legitimate place. There's no expectation of privacy there. Either you did or you didn't pass the bus.
That's correct. Another question we had was, if you get this photograph of the license tag and you have to get facial identification of the driver. Now, I don't know how reliable this equipment is. I don't know how expensive it is. But then appropriate school personnel were going to review it. They didn't define who appropriate was. So to me, there were too many unanswered questions to offer my yes vote. Significantly, the first day it failed, the Democrats split. Now, the Democrats always vote together. And in the end, two teacher educator senators voted against it. So we were all over the page on this. But policy-wise, I made the right decision in my view. Politically, it would have been easier to hit the yes button. And I understand why some people did that. But again, we vote on many bills that I think are bad bills, but they don't get attention. So for me, it was consistently looking at the policy. So that was a long explanation about that. I'll go back over to Representative Fincher for a minute and then go over some of these other things that happened this week.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, that particular bill, I remember when it came up in the House, and there were lots of questions. It got amended because the original version of the bill said, we're just going to send the ticket whoever that car is registered to, whether you loaned it to a friend or any number of other things. It's like, no, that's not the way we work here in this country.
Yeah, if you're ticketing the driver, you're ticketing the driver,
And it is a tough issue. People should not be passing school buses. That's how children get injured or killed. And we have to stop it. But at the same time, we have to do it in a sensible way. And I think what you also talked about, what Senator Daniels also talked about, was the challenge of presenting the bill from the other chamber. Because often you're not involved in the initial bill and somebody contacts you like I did Senator Daniels for my bill. Thank you very much for getting it through the Senate.
Yes, we got Representative Fincher's bill passed.
But part of the problem is...
Always a major accomplishment for a freshman legislator. Doesn't matter.
First legislation, was it not?
It was, absolutely. Now if we can just get the governor to sign it, that's a different story. But I think one of the things that happens is when it comes in, you don't know everything. And I've seen this when our House members have been presenting bills and the questioning they just don't have some of the answers, because things that look obvious on the surface, because they haven't been living with this bill, just makes it very difficult for them to answer sometimes. And but Senator Daniels is right about that bill. It just wasn't the best bill. Now, it's easier to get a house out of the chamber of, or a bill out of the chamber of origin to start with, because we know there are more opportunities to work on them.
Again, we're in the weeds, but it's a good civics lesson. Some of us will vote yes for a bill in committee if the title's off of it. It's not in its final form. They say this is a work in progress. Mm-hmm. Some of us will vote aye for now, which sends a signal to the author, I don't like your bill, so you better make changes or I can't support it on the floor. So we do try to give people an opportunity to fix things that we think are fixable.
Well, and I don't want to go any further with this unless you choose to, but it's also one of those bills that comes up later in a campaign for somebody running against you. You voted against a bill that would keep cameras on buses. It's just, it's one of those things that...
Absolutely. That is true. That's why you make a judgment every time you hit that button. And 30-second sound bites are not an easy way to explain things. I just want to touch on marijuana again this week. I had the opportunity to have dinner Wednesday. Senator Lankford invited some of us to dinner and discussion with Director Jim Carroll, who is President Trump's drug czar. Mm-hmm. And it was to discuss both local, state, and national issues with drugs. And I'm just going to tell your listeners, it was sobering. I did not leave that dinner a happy camper. And I know we've put medical marijuana in place. I know there are those of us who are really trying to put in more regulation of it. But State Question 788 was so open-ended, and it's just not going to be good long-term. Plus, the other things that are happening with fentanyl and being able to, in a lab, create the precursors, and there are just so many ways that the drug makers are becoming more and more sophisticated. And the oddest thing, I'd never heard this before, our next big threat is the country of India. Not China, but India. And how much of the cocaine comes through here, and where all the potency of the marijuana. And I will not describe one new thing that's happening out in California in emergency rooms, because it's just not something to describe. So I just, because I'm chairman of judiciary, all of us involved in judicial issues and law enforcement were there. But I really appreciate Senator Lankford letting us come and talk to him. Treatment works. Treatment, absolutely. We need to get more dollars to the communities. And for those of you who are old enough to remember, First Lady Nancy Reagan was not wrong when she said, just say no. Don't start it. Oh, that's my sermon for today on marijuana.
Thank you much. We appreciate that. And there was not even an offering taken.
But, and no jokes.
Yes. Senator, you also, we got you to comment already on this one, but I want to just bring it up because it is in the news today, as far as the cycle is concerned, modernizing judicial boundaries. It was your bill, I believe.
Thank you. Yes, it was a very busy day on Wednesday, and we did manage to get that passed. 47 years ago, we had a terrible judiciary scandal, lots of bribery in Oklahoma. We were electing judges, and so the people passed a constitutional amendment to institute this judicial nominating commission. They vet the applicants. They send three names to the governor. The governor has to choose from among those three names. This bill had nothing to do with that, but in 1967... we created 9 separate districts for our 9 justices. And over the years, our demographics have shifted so that more people who are practicing law may be in those larger metro areas. Plus, those who live in one of these 9 districts only have a 1 in 9 chance of ever being able to submit their name to serve. So we moved the districts to match our congressional districts. So we have 5 geographic districts for judges. And then we have 4 at-large, which means if you're an attorney or a judge in your career, you will have a 5 in 9 chance of seeking a seat on the court. This deepens the pool of candidates. It allows the JNC to pick from a wider variety of qualified candidates. And we did this also with the Court of Criminal Appeals. There are 5 judges there. We just redid their boundaries to match congressional boundaries. And it passed the House the last 2 years, and it had been defeated in the Senate. So it was terribly important to get it passed this time, or really not try to take another bite at the apple. So I was very pleased we did that. I'll say again, our governor is a true activist. He wanted this bill. He came to the Senate hallways and He went and talked to people who were opposed to it. That's the second time I've run a bill where the governor has come up to the fourth floor himself to lobby for a reform that he wants. So I'm pleased with the result. I think it will ultimately be good for the selection of justices in Oklahoma. But thank you for asking me, because that consumed quite a bit of my attention this week.
Well, and it was an important bill, and I think it's important that people understand why we're making what appears to be a big change.
Correct.
Yeah. And that was the bill when it came through the House. We had a lot of discussion on it in the House, but ultimately I voted for it for the same reason that Senator Daniels laid out. It deepens our pool of candidates. It still assures that we have plenty of representation throughout the state from various areas. So,
and for those in rural areas who say, well, without smaller districts, a rural judge or lawyer will never get a chance. If you're quality, it doesn't matter where you practice law. You're not being selected because you're from a certain community. You're being elected because your application and knowledge of the law. Your constituency is the law and the Constitution, not voters like Representative Fincher and I represent. So, it was good when the campus free speech bill will be on the House floor on Monday. Lots of issues with that, driving back on the turnpike yesterday. I think we've got those sorted out. It has quite a number of co-authors.
I signed on as a co-author for that bill, and I appreciate doing that. So,
see, most of the time, we all work together on 99.9% of things.
Exactly.
And that's all the time we have for us. Thank you very much, and again, for coming in and reporting to the listeners. And thanks again to Phillip 66.
Thank you.
Happy Easter.
At Phillip 66, we don't fuel vehicles. We fuel work trips and grocery.